Let me take you to our reading this morning. We're back in Galatians. This is actually our fifth time in Galatians in the last wee while. And we're hitting towards the end of the letter. And Paul's still writing to the church that's still facing a few issues. And in this section, he really wants to show us a contrast between who we are and who we should be. So this is Galatians 5, starting at 13. And this is God's word. Paul writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, we're called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." What that's saying to us, folks, is that you and I live in a cult of self-expression. This is a time in which we see selfishness everywhere. But it was always there. The human race has been selfish from the beginning. But it's now on social media and on TV, and it's very much alive in our culture. Do you know, occasionally we nip down to Belfast, and there's a wedding shop. It's now closed, but there's a wedding shop in Belfast called It's All About Me. Now, as if we need any encouragement in that direction. Or here's a good gift idea. Christmas is coming soon. I hate to tell you that. What is it, 37 days? I know. The perfect gift for the loved one in your life. How about a nice notebook? And on the front of the notebook, it says, "What I love about me." That's not a joke. That's an actual purchase. Or go home and take your life in your hands and spend 5 minutes on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram, and it's the same message, isn't it? It's a me, me, me culture in which everyone is the main character in their story, and the rest of us have to get with the program. In any disagreement these days, the kids will say, "Hey, you do you. Me, me, me." You know what? We could shake our heads at this stuff, couldn't we? We could say, "What awful people, what a terrible generation, so selfish." But then these sins live in the church as well, don't they? Once again, Paul will confront us this morning with the typical temptations and problems of the church, and then he'll show us an alternative. And when Paul declares that we are free, that Christ has set us free, we should be careful by what that means and what that looks like. Is it all about me, or is it about each other? Now, you know the answer, but let me show you how we get there. You are free. We've already heard about slavery and freedom in the last few months. Paul's talked about the women. Do you remember that? Sarah and Hagar, the slave and the free. And they connect themselves then to law and grace. You remember that one? And he's already declared to us this great truth. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are free, friends. That's what we all want. And yet, anyone with a brain knows that we're not free to do anything. I can't flap my arms this morning and fly out of the pulpit. I can't just stroll from one country into another freely. There are laws, there are society's expectations that live alongside our freedoms. And in the church, our declaration of freedom can also lead us down dark paths. We're free in Christ, brilliant, but that led some to just do what they wanted. They took it as a license to do whatever they liked. And in the church, you know how that goes. We're off to the races. I want to sing these songs, not those songs. Well, I want to sing those songs, not these songs. I think the minister should always wear his collar and his robes, for that matter, as well. Well, I don't think he has to. He's just like us. What's the difference? The service should be at 11, but I have jobs to do, so I think the service should be at 12. That's my pew. That's my ministry. That's one of my jobs. Do you know, I didn't get anything out of church today. I'm not going to bother. These seats aren't very comfortable. It's too cold. Someone should fix that leaky porch. We didn't sing my favorite hymn today. The minister forgot my birthday. You get the idea? And I don't have to imagine these things or make them up, folks. We are selfish at a base level. And even if we're with Jesus, free because of grace, we can still move in that direction. So here it is, the same problem as the Galatians. And Paul has to say to us, you were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. You are free to serve one another, to put the other first and ourselves last. God has not saved us by grace, folks, so that we can do whatever we like. He has saved us for his purpose, that others might know him by our love. I'll wear my collar for the baptisms and the communions, for the serious moments of the church, because I love you. And I want to make sure that you're present for those important moments and not sitting there thinking, what's he wearing? What's he not wearing? I'll sing traditional hymns with you. I'll introduce the modern ones as well, because we need all the sung truth we can get. And I think we should all encourage each other by our singing, older and younger and everyone in between. Others. I'll sit anywhere in this church so I might get to serve someone who I might have missed if I just sat in my seat. I'll volunteer to fix things. I'll close the door to keep the heat in. I'll bring a cushion for my friend whose bum gets sore at the 11:30 mark. I'll tell my friend, happy birthday, because the minister's forgotten or he doesn't know. I'll pray that someone else hears God's voice in the service, even if I don't quite get it. You are free to serve one another. That means looking around instead of looking in. I think the church should ask itself most weeks, what are we doing here? What is this for? Is it for me or is it for others? So don't look in, look out. You know, looking in, it's a pretty close and pure definition of sin. Luther said that sin is man turned in on himself. And it seems this was the problem in Galatia. We need to know the Greek mind here if we're ready to hear what Paul says next. You maybe heard of this. The Greeks had a very clear line between body and soul. And when Christianity came along, people stumbled into thinking the same. Their soul was saved, but the body was disposable. You could go to heaven as a spirit, but the body goes in the ground and it dies forever. Now, that's wrong. That's an error. We are body and soul now, friends. We will be in eternity. How do I know that? Why else would Jesus rise from the dead in his body? Why is it that Thomas can touch him after the resurrection? Why can Mary Magdalene hug him in the garden? But there were some who saw this split between body and soul, and it led them to self-indulgence. Well, if the body's bad, it dies anyway. We can do what we want with it. The fancy word for that is antinomianism. Noma is law, against the law. It's literally those who live against the law. Or Paul puts it this way, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Do you see the problem behind that verse? Some were gratifying the flesh. I'll do what I like. Soul is clean. I'm going to heaven. Body's disposable. Do what I want with it. Paul says no. No. And then he makes it really clear what we're talking about when we say desires of the flesh. It's that awful list, isn't it? There it is for you. You read it earlier with me. Horrible list, but obvious. Do you know, preachers love lists like this, but congregations hate them. Because somebody out there is thinking, here we go. We're going to do 20 minutes here on every single one of these things. Rest easy, brothers and sisters. It's a list you recognize already. You don't need my help. It speaks very much for itself. We know what sexual immorality is, even if the world tries to tell us that it's really sexual freedom. We know the difference. But you'd see that contrast again. We've talked about idols in church recently. Some of those are bad things. Some of them are good things. But they're all substitutes for God. Witchcraft you might struggle with. But we give warnings about these things, not because they're not real, but because they are real. I have a friend, minister, not so long ago, met a witch. I mean, what? It's real. Goodness, go to any church in the country and there'll be some of these things in their past and their present. Hatred, discord, rage, selfish ambition, dissent, factions or cliques, envy, and the persistent addictions of alcohol, drugs, and pornography. We're not immune to these things. I sound like Dr. Paisley, don't I? And did I just sneak that list past you anyway? I think I did. You know, you don't need me or the Paisley types to rant about these things. We're familiar. We know what this is. It's the sin beneath the sins that we need to see, and it is selfishness. It's thinking we're free to do what we like, and we're not. And we're certainly not in the church family and in the kingdom of God. Sin is man turned in on himself. Don't look in, look out. And don't just look out for your sins, look out for each other. Here's the gospel truth this morning. That is what God has done for us. He's the loving Father looking down the road for sinful sons and daughters who've wasted their freedom on themselves, and he's ready to welcome them home, throw a party, and point at us as trophies of grace. And best of all, it's paid for. It's all paid for by our good older brother, Jesus. He doesn't stand outside the party sulking. He joins in. He rejoices. What was truly lost has now come home. Don't look in. Look out for each other. Because the opposite list is really important too. Look at the opposite list. I know you're spoiled this morning. Two lists. Here we go. 20 minutes. It's a great list, isn't it? But look at that for a second and notice with me, it's about other people. You cannot love on your own. That's the headline here. You need someone to love. You need someone to love you. It's not about you, it's about other people. And everything else flows out of love. At least if it's healthy. it does. And it's fruit. Did you see that? It's fruit of the spiritual life. It's not a list like the sins. It's different. This is a collective. Not the fruits of the Spirit. It doesn't say that. But the fruit of the Spirit. It's all one piece. Another way of saying that, folks, is this is the harvest of the Spirit. Which is a way of saying these things don't just happen. They have to be sown and developed and practiced. Paul doesn't say, guys, pray for these things. He says that they come from a constant walk from God. Where did he say that? Back in verse 16. I say, walk by the Spirit. Get your steps in. That's the old-fashioned way of talking about our faith, your walk with God. How's your walk with the Lord? Do we know? And we should be able to tell how our walk is because those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There's your clue. Have we? Or is there a thing in your life, a persistent temptation, a sin that you just can't quite shake? And you try, don't you? You think, right, Monday's coming. I'll start again. I'm going to be good this week. I don't ever make it too far past Wednesday. I don't know about you. Why is that? Because I'm selfish. I think, you know what, Lord? Thanks for saving me. I'll take it from here. And I fail and I fall because my walk runs out. The best intentions run out, don't they? Can't do it. Have we crucified the flesh with its passions and desires? Well, here's your battle call this morning, mine too. Need to hear this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Guys, take a walk with the Lord this week. Don't leave it on Wednesday. Keep going on Thursday. Keep going all the way to next Sunday, and we'll recharge our batteries next weekend. Keep in step with the Spirit. Do you know, I'll help you if you'll help me. We'll call it church. Shall I pray for us? Let me pray for us. Father, you call us to the cross-shaped life, a life of sacrifice. It's hard. It's really hard to serve one another humbly and in love. Father, it's hard to love our neighbors the way we love ourselves. But no one can change a heart like you, Lord. So change us, we pray, from the selfish and the sullen to the fruitful disciples of your Son. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.